He is a defensive end with the Tennessee Titans. He is an All-Pro. He is a five-time Pro Bowler. 98 career sacks since 2009. That is tied for most in the NFL. 213 quarterback pressures in 10 seasons. On top of all that, a two-time CFL Defensive Player of the Year, a two-time winner of the Don Shula Leadership Award. He was undrafted out of Penn State back in 2005. Tennessee is hosting New England Saturday night. Cameron Wake is my guest. Cameron, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Cameron, I'm great. You have had a really interesting career, so let me first start right here. When you signed with the Titans earlier this year, you called it, quote, a match made in heaven for me. So we're a few months into this right now. What's it been like? Has your time there been pretty much the way you expected it?
I think it's even been better than expected. I think, as players, especially, when you've played a long time in this league, you've crossed paths with a lot of different people. And even some of the guys who you keep up with, maybe they're on another team, you kind of get opportunity to look, from outside in and see how things are going, from their perspective, some guys either you played with, played against, coaches who maybe have coached you, have changed teams, so on and so forth. So, I've experienced that, guys who've left certain teams and come to the Dolphins. So, I've crossed paths with a lot of different players who have, played on Titans or been affiliated with this organization. And, I mean, it's been nothing but, tremendous, tremendous respect. And I think, given the opportunity to come and join up with these guys, it's been, it's been an amazing experience. And now that I'm on the inside looking out, it's even better than I had expected before when I signed.
We're talking to Cameron Wake. Over the years, guys, I've talked to guys on that defense with Tennessee, a number of guys, and I've got nothing but respect for how they handle their business. It also seems like from the outside, your mindset when it comes to handling business on the field is very similar to a lot of the guys that I've spoken to. How much of this match made in heaven has been about scheme and approach, but then how much is it about guys who are on that side of the ball that have a similar mindset to you?
I think it was a mix of both. And like I said before, when I had the opportunity to either speak to guys who have come from or guys who are currently on the Titans, in my dealings, especially in the free agent time when I got to speak in a little more in depth, both the scheme and the mindset, the mentality, the mantra of the organization, it's been kind of matched line and step with the way I kind of handle my business. So from the top down, obviously the organization, the ownership, obviously the head coach being a guy who not only has been a player, but played a defensive end, the same position I played. Also played, 14 years, where I am, has been a rookie, had been a mid guy and a veteran. So he knows, the game from this side of the line, as well as now he stepped across and now he's head coach. So, having that kind of, perspective and being able to use that perspective and, how he coaches day to day, I think all of those things trickle down and, touch every part of how we, do our business on the field and off. And I think that's, a tremendous asset and, one of the reasons why I'm here.
We're talking to Cameron Wake, and of course, you're talking about Mike Vrabel, who did play 14 years in the NFL and played the same position. Cameron, when you got there, although you're one of the new guys who's there, you're certainly not one of the new guys, and it's been very clear that you're happy to pass along what you've learned because guys did that when you first came in. As you look back, who were some of the mentors and leaders that you had when you first came back to the NFL?
I've truly been a blessing, obviously, my career. I came in as a young man, and I was signed in Miami, and I had, a guy that a couple guys might know, and Jason Taylor on one side, Joey Porter on the other, two guys who were playing outside linebacker, getting after the quarterback, both of them obviously multiple-time Pro Bowlers and did tremendous things in their careers, and being able to be a sponge underneath those guys, get under their wing and ask all the questions and just kind of follow their lead. And now, it's interesting the way the torch has passed on. And I was one of those guys where, guys came up to me and asked me questions about things and both on and off the field, the same kind of questions I was asking. And obviously it still continues to this day where now I got guys who are, literally 15 years younger than me. Some guys I could technically be their fathers, asking me questions about, football life and whatever it may be and have an opportunity to pass on all the knowledge that I've gained throughout my time playing, passing on to those young guys who will in turn do it, to the next generation when they come in.
So, Cameron, when you say maybe I'm familiar with those two guys, not only am I familiar with those two guys, but Joey Porter is one of my favorite guys ever. Can you give me a Joey Porter story? What's your favorite Joey Porter story that you can share?
Well, if you know Joey Porter, there's probably a few that you can't share.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, I think overall it was just the way to be a professional, the way you carry yourself, the way to go about your business. I mean, the business of football, I mean, it's so many intricacies of it, but then obviously there's so many little tricks of the trade and wisdoms on the field that you can gain, not only from, you know, guys like that, but we had a lot of the veterans who played, not just the outside linebacker position, but we had a lot of veterans who played, and I think when you have that, you know, that wisdom that's on the field, you know, it's really no other way to gain that. I mean, you can read all the books, you can study all the film, but until you go out there and you've actually played between the lines and you know what it feels like, you know, 2-a-day training camp, have 300-pound man, put your hands on each other, all those things, it's a different way and a different respect that to pass on those little nuggets. And I think, obviously, both of those guys played many, many years in this league, and, you know, obviously, same thing with Coach Vrabel, who's now head coach.
Tennessee Titan Cameron Wake is joining us. You know, as part of that, being a professional and the way you approach your craft, this is really interesting. I mean, there are guys on defense who are serious about taking care of their body and making sure they're ready to go on Sundays. You've made it pretty simple when it comes to your approach to food. Let me read you this quote. If you eat potato chips and cheeseburgers, it tastes great for 10 minutes, but you're going to feel like crap for a day and a half. It's not a good return on investment. As a businessman, I'd be like, all right, I want to put this in, and I'm going to get exponential back. This is a losing business model, end of quote. I love that. Where does that mindset come from?
You know, it's funny. I laugh. It's common sense in my mind. I think, and you look at the world of football, and so many guys are trying to gain every little advantage, and you'll see guys running hills and doing, you know, some odd training regimen, upside down, underwater, I mean, all the things, drinking special water, all the things. And I think, you know, when you talk about nutrition, that's one area that, you know, for, I don't want to say just football players, but people in general kind of drop the ball on. And I think it's a common sense thing. You know, you're not supposed to have bad food. And when I say bad food, I mean like overprocessed fast food, junky food, fatty food, you know, stuff in bags. Like, those are the things that you avoid. You eat whole foods, lean foods, greens, vegetables, get your sleep, all those little details. And I think it's just a simple, simple thing that you think of. I just said cheeseburger. If you eat a cheeseburger and a bag of fries, it tastes great for 10 minutes, but then it's going to slow you down. It's going to feel bad for, you know, a day and a half. But if you eat that salad, and I'll say suffer, because some people who don't like salad or whatever the good thing you're supposed to eat is, they suffer through that salad for 10 minutes. But that return is going to help you feel lighter, faster, more alert, recover better for, you know, another day or day and a half. And I think that 10 minutes traded off with that day and a half is, to me, just a simple, simple way to take that next step, to gain that 1 inch that you can, obviously 1 inch in this game can change the course of the game, which one game can change the course of a season. And, you know, I'm willing to take that suffering, if that's the word, in order to gain that extra inch.
All right, so since you broaden that out to, it's not just football, it's not just athletics, it's life. I mean, to your point, it's simple, right? Simple but not easy. It's one of those things, simple but not easy. But if we all know better, Cameron, then why do we all do the wrong thing, myself included? Why do we eat that crap when it's only going to feel good for 5 minutes and we're going to feel like crap for a day and a half? Why do we do it?
You know, that's a great question. I think, like I said, it feels good. And I think, I mean, to most people's credit, I mean, especially I'll just use you for an example, you're not technically using your body as your method of, you know, sustaining your life, taking care of your family, so on and so forth. You know, I would assume your voice and your, you know, your journalism skills, so on and so forth, that's how you make your money. Whereas athletes, professional athletes, this is my body, this is my Ferrari, I got to take care of it. And I got to, you know, obviously put in the best possible ingredients, take care of it the best possible way, because on Sundays, you know, that extra inch or that extra burst or that extra recovery, those are the things that are going to help me take care of my family, reach my goals, create a legacy, so on and so forth. And to me, I said this a long time ago, cheeseburgers aren't going anywhere, video games aren't going anywhere, parties aren't going anywhere. You know, if you do the right thing now, you can go have cheeseburgers, you know, till they fall out your ears, you know, down the line. But now I had this one opportunity, I had this one window, this one chance to be great, to achieve what I want to achieve, and I choose, you know, whatever it may be, over those small little, you know, gratifications that are short and sweet, that for the long term, benefits that I'm going to gain.
Cameron Wake is breaking it down. I appreciate you picking me up like that, although I know better. We all know better. Hey, listen, I ran down part of your resume at the top of the interview, but I didn't have time for all of it because it's a monster resume. You've done just about everything there is to do in the game, and you've done it as a guy who was not drafted, who did not make the 90-man roster. So what, and I can hear it in your voice, man, you've got that fierce drive still. What motivates you now? What drives you now? Is it still about being overlooked way back in the day, or is it something else?
Well, you know what? I think I've kind of passed that up, you know, over the course of my career. You know, I think, you know, there was a time when I used to look back and everybody calls, you know, that chip on your shoulder where you're going against a guy who was drafted and you weren't, and let's go kick his butt and all, you know, all those things. But, you know, I look at my career, I look back, and I'm content with who I am, where I am, what I've become. I look at my journey. I look at, you know, where I started and where I am now, and, you know, I've kind of let that little chip or whatever you want to call it die, and that's been gone. Because, you know, I think there was a time where I went back and I looked at all the, you know, 2005 draft class and all the guys who, you know, went in the first round and all their stuff, and, you know, you compare careers and all, you know, all the stuff, right? And, you know, again, I don't look back and I don't have any regrets for my path. It was what I you know, had. I used the cards that I was dealt and made the best hand I could. And, you know, I think there are guys out there probably who were first rounders back then, household names back then, who wish they were still playing, and I'm still given the opportunity to do that. So, you know, it's not one of those things. It's more of every day I look in the mirror and I look at the guy looking back at me, and I have to outdo him, outdo his best, do better than he did the day before. You know, I'm not comparing myself to anybody else anymore. I compare myself to my own achievements, my own goals, and I'm a pretty tough critic. I have, you know, high expectations of myself and my abilities, probably higher than my coaches and some other fans, and so, you know, every day I have to go out there and meet those expectations, and, you know, that's why I'm still here playing this game, and I'm going to continue to do it until, you know, I feel like it's time to step away. So I take it one year at a time, and right now I'm feeling good, and I'm enjoying, you know, chasing that goal down.
That's great. So finally, is it about you versus the guy in front of you, or is it ultimately always about you versus you?
It's always about me versus me. I think this is the way I look at it. If I do my best, and everybody, you know, if you just look at people, football, out of football, everybody has a maximum ability. And the truth is, it's different for every single guy in the NFL, on the street, Wall Street, wherever it is. You can only maximize your own abilities. Now, the reality is there's a guy out there who's getting 100% out of himself, and there's a guy out there who's getting 70% out of himself. And regardless of what the result is, in my eyes, the guy who's getting, you know, 100%, 90%, he is more of a success than the guy who's only getting 70% of himself. And now there's guys who at 70% are still pretty good football players, are pretty good journalists, are pretty good whatevers, but still they're leaving 30% on the table. And so for me, if I can get 100 or, you know, as close to 100% out of myself as possible, then no matter what the results are, I can look myself in the mirror and say, I gave it every single thing I got. I emptied the tank. I turned over every rock. And if I still lost, having given everything, I can live with that. Now, obviously, the flip side of that is if you go out there and you don't do everything you can, win or lose, in my mind, you still fail because you didn't maximize your true ability or your true opportunity. So I just do that to myself. I look in the mirror, do my very best, get everything you can, take every inch, take every advantage, and win, lose, or draw, I can hold my head up high, look in the mirror, knowing that I am successful regardless.
So, Cameron, one quick follow. Hearing that, like David Goggins, my guy, I was reading him again over the weekend. He's amazing, former Navy SEAL. In fact, he's an Army Ranger, too. He's about 40%. He's like, we're all living at 40%. And since you brought those percentages, where do you come out? Are we all like at 50, 40, 70? Most people walking around are operating at what capacity of what they can do, in your opinion?
I definitely think it's not nowhere near 100. 40 probably is close, but I think especially when you are in a position where, whether it's football or off the field, and you really put your mind to something, you really focus in and laser in on something, I think most people will surprise themselves of what they're capable of. You know, I look at myself and I say, you know what, there's no way anybody could have written a script that said, this guy coming out of Penn State, gets cut, spent a year off football, undrafted, all those things, he would, you know, achieve some of the things that I've achieved. And you asked me, maybe even back then, I probably would have, you know, had a little bit of doubt. But you laser focusing on whatever it is, and again, this is life, not just football, whatever that thing is you want to achieve, even if you don't do it. I think you'll be surprised how far you get or how close you get to whatever that is, and you'll surprise everybody else around you. So it's all about, like I said, that sacrifice and that commitment. And, you know, every yes is a no to something else, and you have to be willing to accept that. I think some people don't. And if you want to be great at something, you're probably going to be not so great at some other things. I've told people I'm probably not the best drinking buddy. I might not be the best groomsman, or maybe, you know, video game or spades partner, or maybe even not the best brother in the world or whatever. But, you know, I laser focused on this game of football, and I'm trying to get 100% out of myself. And like I said, when I can look in the mirror, when I retire, step away from this game, I'll be content with everything that goes along with it.
Cameron Wake, my guest. Cameron, that conversation was everything that I hoped that it would be and even more. So good to have you on the show. Couldn't appreciate or respect you anymore, man. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was great. That was amazing, actually. That was an amazing conversation.